Blog Talk Radio.
What had happened?
It probably just dropped you. That's the bill.
With your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
My Yahweh's radio, fourth day of the Feast of Tabernacle. Worldwide international radio broadcast is now on the air. The fourth day tabernacle. I be your host, by name, your seer, Israel, of Seed Royal. All right, we're just going to stroll out on the international side and see who all joined us for the fourth day of the Feast of Tabernacle, proper pronunciation. According to Jubilee 16:27, the Feast of YHWH. That's the proper way you say this thing. This is the Feast of YHWH. This is the fourth day of his feast. And in the definition of tabernacle only means camps that's in their tents. That's all that means. Tabernacle means camp that's in their tents. That's all that means. Got it? Good. We're going to roll out on the international side and see who all joined us for the fourth day. The fourth day. And like I said, again, it's been a righteous, more than righteous, to this point. A lot of bonding been going on, see, right? A lot of bonding, and that's what Yahweh going to be looking for when he point down to his children and see they follow me holy. And when you got that in your, up under your belt, when time appointed, that's when you're going to know one thing. You're on the right track with the Almighty. Four-letter name, YHWH. This is the fourth day of the feast called Yahweh, which is called Tabernacle, but it's the Feast of Yahweh. Let's go on the international side. I see the slots already filled, so all the slots are filled. And you know what? That's a great thing, like the elders say. Like our elders say, that's a great thing. And what's flashing out of New York on the international side is 11119. 111 119. A lot of ones in there. 119. So whatever 111019 is, we'll find out from the elder as we mount up to talk about the fourth day of the feast. Then after that, plenty to eat them up, plenty to drink them up. You know, I've been noticing for the last 3 days, everything. It's just about, I'm up. Those is up, we's up to Ronnie Rooster start getting ready to start coming out. You see? The rooster start getting ready to come out. For a long time, see, Roy, why? See, Yahweh tells you in these feast days, it's a rehearsal for the big one that when he returns and sits down with you in tabernacles, which is the feast of his father, which is the feast of Yahweh. You know, we don't know what we're going to say. All we know one thing, we go and find our elder and bring him in. And when you meet your elder with a loud voice, you say, Elder, Mr. Tibbs. Yahweh BJFC, right?
And Yahweh bless you, serious fellow Seed Royal. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. Yahweh, we know one thing, we live on Pal Talk, we live on Blog Talk Radio, so we live, and so late we'll be live every place to go. That's why we tell the best of them that get in where you fit in at, because one thing about it, it's going to happen, and this is going to be the ministry that take care of the business. So we have to bring out what the man give us to tell you, and we hope that we don't, in your mind, we get a 416. Do we become your enemy because we show you what the Bible say? The Bible say, you will become your enemy by showing you what the Bible say. See, it's like this. You want to become an enemy of the world, he says. And when you I better write that verse down. And James, I might come up. He said, if you're a lover of the world, I forgot how it sounds. I ain't gonna worry about it. I'm just gonna write it down. He says, it ain't gonna cut it. So we'll leave that like this. We'll see what that means in time to come. Elvis Tibbs, all the slots are spilled on the international side, 195 international countries. They already ready to go. 111019. So you take your time. And I see a memo is coming in right now as we're speaking. So let me run back and hear the memo. And you on the clock on 195 international countries. Got a representative in. 111019. You on the clock. Elder, Mr. Tibbs, come on.
Well, once again, Yahweh bless you, Sir Israel. And thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast of another outstanding attendance of people that we have that came to hear the words of Yahweh. Looks like 111,019 people. That's a big jump in the listeners that we had in the last few days. And you know what? That's a good thing, which you have already stated that. Well, it's come to me. I will speak on some of the stuff that I had been contributing to the temple. Honey, that's an interesting topic to start with. When I first started doing that, now you might be surprised listening to this. In Chicago, 300 West Adams, I'll give you the address, on top of the roof, a beekeeper had started out with three hives. There was two guys was working there, and they were getting little small 6 ounces jars of honey that they would collect from these hives. I didn't know anything about it at first. I learned quite a bit from these two gentlemen walking around in their Microsoft bunny suits that they had on, treating the bees and smoking them up so that they could go and retrieve the honey. I learned quite a bit. And from that, what I learned about 2 years ago, I was passing out the little 6 ounce jars of honey in the temple. And they introduced me to some other beekeepers that had large farms. Now, one of the things that you may not realize, bees have to get their pollen and nectar from flowers. Where would they get it from on the roof of a building. How far does a bee fly? Has anyone ever thought about that? The average honeybee flies anywhere from 3 to 5 miles to collect honey to make the stuff, to collect the pollen to make the honey for their beehives. Well, let's see. The other thing that you have to think about, when they fly that far away, how does the bee know to get back to that particular hive where he is collecting stuff for the queen to protect him? That's a good thought. How does a little bee find its way back 4 or 5 miles? Well, scientists pinpointed a complex network of neurons in the brain that act like a built-in navigator for the bee. Uh-huh. Guess people didn't know that. How did Mr. Tibbs find it out from these beekeepers? They taught me. I knew nothing. Previous studies have shown that bees have visions. They use that to navigate. But this was the first study to show what had happened inside their, what they call, tiny brains. Later, the researchers discovered a region of neurons in the brains of the central complex. The complex network of neurons navigates every detail of the outbound journeys, helping bees return directly home. Can you imagine that? This is probably more accurate than my GPS for those people that's listening. Now, as they do all this work and come back to their particular hive, they make honey. And the larger the bee cluster is, the more honey that they make. So what about wintertime? What happens in the wintertime? Anyone ever took time to think what happens in the wintertime for a bee? Yep. When the winter rolls around, bears usually hibernate and birds fly south, which we already know from school. But what about the bees? Like every other creature on the earth, bees have their own unique ways of coping with cold temperatures during the winter season. One way a bee prepares for winter is by gathering a winter reserve of honey. Honeybees head to the hive when the temperatures drop to the 50s. And as the weather becomes cool, the honeybees gather in a central area of the hive and form a cluster, which is called a winter cluster, much like a huddle you might have seen in a football game, except it lasts all winter. That's something else. Busy as a bee? Now, bees have one main job in the winter, and their main job is to take care of the queen bee. This means they must keep her safe and warm. In order to do so, the worker bees surround the queen and form a cluster with their bodies. The worker bees then flutter their wings and shiver. This constant motion and continuous use of energy is how the bee keeps the inside temperature of the beehive warm. So in order to keep shivering, the bees must have enough honey. So some of the honey that we take, this is how they live during the winter. This is how they get their energy. One of the most important jobs of a beekeeper that you will learn if you ever have the chance to work with a beekeeper will give you the knowledge to know these things that I'm stating. In the winter, they have to make sure the honey supply stays full so the bees can keep shivering. Though the queen is always in the center of the cluster, the worker bees must rotate from outside to inside the cluster so no individual worker bee gets too cold. The temperature of the cluster ranges inside from 46 outside exterior to 80 degrees in the interior. Can you imagine that? In the wintertime, 80 degrees inside the beehive? The colder the weather is outside, the more compact the cluster become, which means they get closer around the queen bee. In order to produce body heat and stay alive, the honeybees must rely on honey for energy. Some of the studies have found that the hives of the honeybee will consume up to 30 pounds of stored honey over a course of a single winter. On warmer days, the bees will still leave the cluster briefly in order to eliminate body waste outside the hive. Better take note, because this is stuff we don't learn every day. And a few facts about the bees. Honeybees are the only insect that produce food that's eaten by humans. Worker honeybees are female. The average worker bee produces only about a 1/12 of a teaspoon of honey over her lifetime. A worker bee lives about maybe 6 weeks. A queen bee can live to be up to 5 years old. Honey never spoils. That's one note you need to know. It never spoils. To make 1 pound of honey, a bee must visit 12 million flowers in order to do that. So this is work that you find out when you start dealing with honey. And other stuff, you find out how to find out what is real from fake by dealing with the actual beekeepers that the honey come from. Can you imagine going to Save-A-Lot or Dollar Plus and buying a jar of the honey and say it's real bees honey and think that's what it is? Well, let us think second thoughts on that. That would be another conversation later on a different broadcast. So this is some of the things that you learn when Yakwa gives you the knowledge to get out there and search. When you ask Yakwa for knowledge, you're given that in abundance what you ask for. Remember, I always say a teacher can't learn from his students, although you have many students try to teach the teacher. But having knowledge, the teacher gains more experience by teaching. A student can learn from a good teacher and possibly learning to teach the word of Yakwa one day themselves. And this shows well in all of our 6 camps that teach. Because we all came here to hear things that most of us can hear, and some listening never understand. And that's without proper teaching. And that's what we provide in Yakwa's ministry. We came to see things in the Bible through proper teaching that some looking can never find. Some reading the Bible can't find the book of Genesis until they're told where to look. This is what teaching does. Makes everything possible for the righteous. We have to be aware by knowing the scriptures and the Bible precepts. We're given the knowledge to know that those out there that camouflage their evil or confused teaching and overly loud bump the gums contest for their righteous learning, actually which they didn't do any research on, even using Bible scriptures as verbal weapons. So we're here to help guide you through these dark times of bad teaching and Christianity, and we welcome and thank all of you for attending another live broadcast of Yakwa's ministry that's coming to you live and open to you always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. First and foremost, about Yakwa's word, connecting the Bible books for your biblical education, your health, foods that you should eat, and keeping those Sabbath days. And we do this because this is information that you all have came to seek. And now you found out what you have sought in the voices of the true Israelites, tribe Yada. That's open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And the days that we're open is Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. We don't have a class on Tuesday, but we do have a Sabbath class. The top part of the Sabbath is Friday from 7:30 to 10:30. The bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. Our temple class starts at 12 p.m., and the online class starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until the temple members desire to leave. We also have a website address. To use this, open up any one of your current smart devices. On the search line, enter www.tribeyhdh.com. After you click enter, just under this big lion, you will see some choices. One of these choices will be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. On any other device, you may see menu. By clicking this, again, you'll see choices. Still choose tithes and offerings. And doing so, remember what it tells all of us in the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse number 8. Verse 7 says, give unto your Yakwa, the kings of the people. Give unto the Yakwa glory and strength. 8, give unto the Yakwa the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. I always remind everyone that when doing this, to remember that Yakwa loves a cheerful giver. And donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated that you give, watching your mind, to keep this ministry bringing you, thus says Yakwa Live. Also, for building a school, banquet hall, radio station, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program. Hallelujah, Yakwa. Also while there, don't forget to check our calendar. That will help keep you, your family, and friends in tune with the feast days that come to us throughout the year. The calendar will explain in biblical detail by scripture what the feast days are, when they begin, and when they end. For the live program, this is a feature that's only available during the live broadcast time. To get there, type three words on the search line, Yahweh Radio Live. And after you click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe Yada. Click the red live button. As soon as this appears, you'll be right into a live online broadcast. We are also using two email addresses. The first is tribe, STRIBE, YHDH at gmail.com. This is to write your written opinions, questions of a biblical subject answered, or related topics. The other is YHDHYSRAEL at gmail.com, also for biblical subjects or related topics. We also have a few numbers you can righteously call with Yahweh in mind. The first is our live conference room number. This is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This is our international number where you can call, leave a message on scriptures that you have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the 69 accounts of Yahweh's ministry. And if you happen to miss the beginning of our program, you can always listen to the entire show at 9:15 p.m., except Fridays. This program will be repeated after 10:30. To get there, and the three words on the search line, once again, Yahweh Radio Live. After clicking enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe Yada. Choose the program that you were late logging into or any previous day that you would like to listen. Now, doing the normal Broad Talk broadcasts, we're also simultaneously transmitting our program on Pal Talk. We'll be listed under ethnic group, African American. Look for Voices of the True Israelites. This is where Yahweh's Word is also working for your biblical education. Online there to answer any questions that's on the particular topic will be Elder Mr. Tibbs, along with Seer Israel, Riding Shotgun. We are taking no comments off topic or more than two text questions answered at a time. Failure to follow the Righteous Act, the elder will block or restrict misuse. And if Raw Talk ends before teaching time, teaching will continue on Pal Talk. Yahweh be with you all. Remember what it tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. 33 says, "For Yahweh is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all covenants of churches of the saints." We have to keep these scriptures in mind. What it does, it leads us in a righteous direction. But when you're trying to win a bump the gums contest, what happens? You miss all of Yahweh's glory, which is said unto you. You have to remember, we are rehearsing the righteous act to learn the words of Yahweh. So you have to remember what it tells us in the book of St. John, 14:26. 26 says, "But the Comforter, which is the righteous Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things into your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." This is why we always say, keep your Bibles open. Maybe take notes, because it will help put you in the same mindset what this scripture has explained. Remember, we are only one person, one man or one woman. We can only do 100% of what one man or one woman can do in this life. And that's if at all possible. And anyone ever tells you they've done more, they just lie. Now we're doing the work of another, and that would be past Yahweh's creation. Now that's impossible. So to find out what our continued possibilities would be, let's keep our Bibles open. Take notes. I'll pass our program back to our Seer Israel. And we might start part two of the B information sometime later this week. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. That's excellent. That's excellent, because when you come on the network to enlighten and to inform, especially the Sister Mona Camp and those that were about feels to pay attention, because we take our time and we deal according to what he gives us to tell you. And like I said, again, you can get in any location, just sit in the camp. And I'm getting a lot of background noise here. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I'm finding out. Got so many gadgets over here going on. I don't know. So that's what it is. I have so many gadgets going on, I end up coming up short 4 or 5 different ways. So we're going to leave that like it is. We're just going to get on the network and see if we find Brother Yagdai Israel, also the brother that's the elder in Israel. We're going to find him out, a teacher elder, to bring out some things that we're going to take a look at through this fourth day. So we're going to, when you meet your brother, with a loud voice, you say, Brother Yahweh Israel, Yahweh be to that seed royal.
Yahweh bless you, see Israel, a seed royal. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Yahweh, that Brother Yahweh Israel. Well, this is the fourth day of the feast of Yahweh, which is called Tabernacle. And we don't know where they're going. We look at these memos as they come in. And we're just going to see which way it go. But we're going to make sure we put in front of us Luke chapter 12, verse 12. Brother Yahweh Israel, what that say? Come on.
The book of Luke chapter 12, verse number 12 reads, "For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say."
Excellent. In that very same hour, the righteous spirit will teach you what you ought to say. Now, I heard our elder make a profound statement about, he said, everybody will, all the bees will circle around the queen bee and keep the queen bee doing whatever queen bee's supposed to do. So that was a profound statement. So we come with an open mind to hear something. So we heard something. So they all circle around the queen bee to make sure the queen bee can continue to throw out that honey, if I heard it right. But all the part I really heard was the queen bee will be circled around, and they will make sure she stayed prepared to put out that honey. That's good. So I want to precept that to, on this fourth day of this feast, to Deuteronomy 28. And let me see where that's coming from. All I need is half of it, Brother Yahweh Israel. All I need is the good part of it. And Deuteronomy 28:56. Just give me the good part of Deuteronomy 28:56. What the good part say there, Brother Yahweh Israel? That's all I want to hear, is the good part of point toward that B. Yeah, point toward that B. And that queen bee, they say, queen bee. He said, all of them got around the queen bee and make sure it was performed in grand style. So we want to precept that to 28:56. Just give me the good part, half of it, that makes sense. You on the clock, come on.
Look at Deuteronomy 28:56 reads, "The tender and delicate woman among you, we should not adventure to set the sole of a foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness.
Thank you, sir. So once upon a time ago, the children of Israel, the women was tender and delicate, and just as you see the bees circle around the queen's bee to make sure the queen bee can continue, that's the way they got that verse from the tender and delicate woman. Ain't that something? You know, you see, and that's what the book talks about, a tender and delicate woman. So that same thing deals that old bee. They circle that bee, and for that bee can, the queen bee they call it, the queen bee. They say, hey, queen bee, you keep on pumping that honey out. That's what you do. And we'll make sure, well, like we heard the elder say, well, it's cold or whatever, that queen bee was going to continue long as things is done in order. Okay. All right. That sounds pretty good. That's one of the jubilees there, Brother Yahdai Israel. Let's see where we at. Now, this going to come back up again. It just, I had to make note of that. So, we got history of a tender and delicate woman that had all the respect that it, when she stepped her foot down, that the royal blue carpet was laid right down every time. Now, that's good. So we'll find out more about that as he give it to me. But right now, we want to go to Jubilees chapter 16. And we'll read verse 27, and then we'll come back a little bit. Let's run back to Jubilees chapter 16, verse 27. Let's see what's going on in Jubilees 16, verse 27 there. Brother Yahdai Israel.
The book of Jubilee, chapter 16, verse number 27 reads, book of Jubilee 16, verse 27. And he blessed and rejoiced. He called the name of this festival Feast of Yahuwah.
So it was a feast that was blessed. It was a blessed feast. And the name of that feast was called the Feast of Yahuwah. Now let's back up and find out, well, who is part of this Feast of Yahuwah that passing out all this blessing? Let's back up to about the verse 14. Back up to 14, and let's see what we can get out of this. Back up to the Jubilees, where the chapter ends, just pick up at verse 14. And I want to see something in there, Brother Yahdai Israel. Pick up at verse 14. Let's see what we're working with.
Look at Jubilee 16, verse number 14 reads, and Abraham circumcised his son on the eighth day. He was the first that was circumcised according to the covenant, which was ordained forever. Verse 15. In the sixth year of the fourth week, we came to Abraham to the well of Oak. We appeared unto him as we had told Sarah that we should return to her. She would have conceived a son. Verse 16. And we returned in the seventh month, found Sarah with child before us, and we blessed him. We announced to him all the things which had been decreed concerning him, that he should not die till he should beget six sons more, but should see them before he died. But in Isaac should his name and seed be called. Verse 17. And all the seed of his sons should be Gentiles, be reckoned with the Gentiles. But from the sons of Isaac, one should become a righteous seed. He should not be reckoned among the Gentiles. Verse number 18. For he should become the portion of the Most High, and all his seed hath fallen in the possession of Yahuwah. There should be unto Yahuwah people for his possession above all nations, that it should become a kingdom and priest and a righteous nation. Verse number 19. We went our way. We announced to Sarah all that we had told him. They both rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Verse 20. He built an altar to Yahweh, who had delivered him, who was making him rejoice in the land of his sojourn. He celebrated the feast of joy in this month, 7 days, near the altar which he had built at the well of the oak. Verse 21. He built booths for himself and for his servants on this feast. He was the first to celebrate the feast of tabernacle on the earth. Verse 22.
Yeah, go ahead. Take down verse 26. Yeah, take it down to 22 down to verse 26. There, Brother Yahdai Israel. Brother Yahdai Israel, now you know you own something. You own something, and while you own something, I'm writing it as you own something. So now you're talking some fine, good reading going on right now. Because you laying some foundation, and I'm taking notes as it unfolds itself. Come on and give me a little bit more there. 22 down to verse 26 there, Brother Yahdai Israel.
Verse number 22. And during these 7 days, he brought each day to the altar a burnt offering to Yahweh, 2 oxen, 2 rams, 7 sheep, 1 he-goat, for a sin offering that he might atone thereby for himself, for his seed. Verse 23. Now the thanks offering, 7 rams, 7 kids, 7 sheep, 7 he-goats offered as their drink offering. He burned all the fat thereof on the altar, a chosen offering unto Yahweh for a sweet smell and safety. Verse 24, and morning and evening he burnt fragrance, substance, frankincense, and gold balsam, and statue, and nard, and myrrh, and spice, custom. All these 70 offers crushed, mixed together in equal parts, and pure. Verse 25, he celebrated this feast during 7 days, rejoicing with all his mind and with all his strength. He and all those who were in his house, family, there was no stranger with him, nor any that was uncircumcised. Verse 26, he blessed his creator who had created him in this generation. We had created him according to his good pleasure, for he knew and perceived that from him would arise the plan of righteousness for the eternal generation, and from him a righteous seed, so that it should become like him who had made all things.
He said, now, from them, there's going to come a plant of righteousness. That's a big talk right there, Brother Yahdai Israel. So it's going to become a plant of righteousness that can come out of him. See, we covered a lot of that yesterday. So if you put yesterday's tape with that one, it'll help out on it. But we want to look at this. So it was already prophesied that we're going to come out of this a plant of righteousness. And the 15th chapter of Jeremiah, can you help me out in verse 1 through 5? And verse 8, what he says in the 15th chapter of St. John, thank you there, Brother Yahdai Israel, in St. John chapter 15, verse 1 through 5, and verse 8, what do it say in St. John chapter 15, 1 through 5, and verse 8? What does it say there, Brother Yahdai Israel?
The book of St. John, chapter 5. Book of St. John, chapter 15, verse number 1 through 5. Verse number 8 reads, Book of St. John, chapter 15, verse number 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Verse 2. Every branch of me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Verse number 3. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Verse 4, abide in me, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can you, except you abide in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in them, the same bringeth forth much fruit, but without me you can do nothing. Verse number 8, Herein is my Father honored, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples.
What do verse 6 and 10 say is behind that, Brother Yahweh Israel? Same book. But what do 6 and 10? Now, we heard some tall talking right there. But if we look at verse 6 and 10, and what do that say?
Verse number 6. St. John 15, verse 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burnt. Verse number 10. If you keep my Torah instructions, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's Torah instructions, commandments, and abide in his love.
Mm-hmm. So he says, it doesn't make a difference what you're doing if the only way you don't get the love of Yahweh, you got to do what in verse 10? See, the only way you get the love of Yahweh, because a lot of us have a tendency to think in our own mind we can be St. John 10:1. What it says in St. John 10:1?
Book of St. John 10, verse number 1 reads, truly, truly, I say unto you, the sheep that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbing up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber.
Mm-hmm. So you got a lot of the world that they feel that they can come up the way they mind tell them to do. But see, our job is to show you what Yahweh is saying to do. Because he's going to say in the 7th chapter, verse 14, let's see what he say before we read. We come back and read verse 10 again. But see, this is what Yahweh says. Because we have a tendency to think that we can meet our maker the way we want to meet or what our mind tells us to do. But then all of a sudden, he'll take you to where I have yet to come out of the mouth for you to inform those who have that same mindset that, according to Scripture, is not the way you do anything according to Scripture. So in the 7th chapter, let's see what he says in the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew, Brother Yahweh Israel. We're going to look at the 7th chapter of Matthew. And we're going to look exactly and see what he says in the 7th chapter, round by verse 13. Pick it up at 7:13. We'll read a little bit and see what we can get out of it. Matthew chapter 7. And look what it says in verse 13. Verse 1, verse 13, what it say?
The book of Matthew, chapter 7, verse number 13 reads, enter you in at the straight gate. Wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat.
Mm-hmm. And skip down verse 21 and continue. No. Read verse 20 and get warmed up.
Verse number 20. Wherefore by their fruit you shall know them. Verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Yahweh, Yahweh, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he or she that doeth the will is in heaven. Verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Yahweh, have we not prophesied in your name? And in your name cast out devils. And in your name there are many wonderful works. Verse 23. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work sin.
What did you read again in 15, verse 10, and back to verse 6? What did you read? That he said out of his own mouth. He said something in 15 verse 10. Then we'll skip up to verse 6. Then we come right back to 7:19 of Matthew. What was said there, Brother Yahdai Israel, 15 verse 10 out of his mouth? What did he say?
The book of St. John 15, verse 17. If you keep my Torah instructions, you shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's Torah instructions and abide in his love.
So he said, yeah, that sounds good. He said, but make sure if you keep my Torah instructions, you have the love of myself and the Father. He said, but I got a condition that it got to be. It must be the love of my Torah instruction. That's what he just said. He said, now listen, I understand on your comes and your goes, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm laying it out on what you got to do to remain, to get the love of me. You got to keep my Torah instruction. That's what a man just said. Now, look what he says in verse 6. Now, if you don't, look what he got written in verse 6 of the 15th chapter.
Book of St. John 15, verse 6. If a man and woman abide not in me, they is cast forth as a branch and is withered. Men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burnt.
Yeah. So he says he got rules and regulations for his love. You can know the name, but his love is those that, let's precept that to 14, 21 through 24. St. John chapter 14. See, what we do, we just hear us, and Yahweh said, you know, I have statements that come out of mouths. In the same token, I want you now to put some scriptures to it to understand one thing. The love of Yahweh is doing the Torah instruction. That's the love of Yahweh so far, what we have heard. Now, we're in the 14th chapter. We want to see what we get out of verse 21 down to verse 24. Let's see what we get out of St. John 14, verse 21 down to verse 24. What we get out of that, Brother Yahdai Israel?
Book of St. John 14, verse 21 through 24 reads. Book of St. John, chapter 14, verse 21. He that have my Torah instructions and keepeth them, he or she it is that loveth me. And they that love me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love them and will manifest myself to them. Verse 22, Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Yahweh, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Verse 23, Yahweh the Son answered and said unto him, if a man and woman love me, they will keep my words. My Father will love them, and we will come unto them and make our abode with them. Verse 24, he or she that loveth me not, keep it not my saying, and the word which you hear is not mine, but Yahweh the Father, which sent me.
That's big. You know, see, that's big talk. See, this Bible, I be writing like a man head to the penitentiary on what I be hearing. Yeah, I'll take good notes on what I'm hearing. I just be writing. So I'll be writing down as it unfolds. As it unfolds, so back up to the 8th chapter and see what he pulled that verse from, the 836. He pulled that really from the wisest man in the world in 8 verse 36. So what he's saying, see, Roy, so far, he got rules and regulations that must have to be done. You know, because many are going to say in that day, did not go and feed the poor, cannot go and dumb things. He's going to say, yeah, but I never knew you. He said, all that's good if you driving the vehicle of Torah instructions up front. Your reward is from Torah instructions up front, and that's the first five books. Now he says, he pulled that verse from the 8th chapter, verse 36 of the book of Proverbs. Let's see what he says.
Book of Proverbs, chapter 8, verse number 36 reads, Proverbs 8, verse 36, "But he or she that sins against me, wrongeth their own self. All that hate me, love death."
Now, let's go and see how do you sin against your mighty one in Matthew 7:19. How do you sin against your mighty one and not knowing that if you sin against him, see, you have to know exactly what is going to end up and a time appointed. See, when you sin against the Almighty, and matter of fact, I need to bring in 1 John chapter 3:3-4. What is the biblical definition of sin against your mighty one that we can read? What can we read the biblical definition of sin against your mighty one? What he got written in 1 John 3:3-4? What he got written there, Brother Yahdai Israel?
Book of 1 John 3:3-4 reads. Book of 1 John 3:3. And every man and woman that have this hope in themselves purify themselves, even as he is pure. Verse 4. Whosoever committed sin transgresses also the Torah instructions. For sin is the transgression of the Torah instructions.
You can't order water and tell them to hold you to wet. He said the good deeds is on the table. That's fine in your own mind. But Yahweh is going to judge you on the fact of you keeping his Torah instruction. He said, those that do not keep it, that sin against me, that break them first by books, you love death. And see, now you can find out where Paul pulled that verse from. Now we go and see Paul was invited to the great big temple of Southern Kingdom. So now, the good deeds that we do, okay, good. He said, if you sin against me, you wrong your own soul. And all that hate me love some death. So we're going to precept that and bring Paul eyeball to eyeball with the Southern Kingdom Temple. He was invited to the temple, and the chief speaker of the nation of Israel passing the microphone. And he said something in 10:22 to verse 27. Listen what he said at the great big Southern Kingdom Temple. What he said, and he grabbed the microphone. All the 12 sitting there watching him doing he got to raise him up. He was a shout man with a heavy voice. That they raised him up for everybody can see him. So now here he go, get ready to make a profound statement. We all gonna read together what he says in 10:22-27. Listen to what he said at the great big temple of Southern Kingdom. Brother Yahdai Israel, come on.
The book of Hebrews. Look at the word Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22-27 reads. Book of Hebrews. Look at the word Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Let us draw near with a true mind and full assurance of the covenant, having our minds sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promises. Verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good work. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. Verse 26, for if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. Verse 27, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment, and fury indignation, we shall devour the adversaries.
He said, if you forsake the assembling and do all the deeds that you want to do, he said, all you got coming is a lake of, that he just said. He said, yeah, you can do all the good deeds you want. You can say, well, I feed the poor. I've done this and I've done. He said, yeah, you did do all that. But what did I say out of my mouth to do? Don't forsake the assembly. We got six vocations. You can do all the good, say, well, I guess in my mind I've done some good things. According to him, you're heaven. Because then when you forsake the assembly, you all that is canceled out, according to what he just said. It don't cancel out. For those that feel that they have done something that's outside of doing the way Yahweh got it written, we're telling you right now, you're heading for a trip to the bottom of the lake of fire. Because you got you can't order water and hold the wet. If it tells you what not to do, and Paul was raised from the womb in Galatians chapter 1, 15 and 16. He was raised from the womb to tell you what he tell you, but we're not going to read. You can go read what Paul says. I was raised in the womb to tell you, don't forsake the assembly. Because whatever your deeds that you're doing, it's canceled out if you forsake the assembly. That's what he just said. So Matthew's, give me that Matthew 7. This is him talking in 7:19. See, all we're doing is showing you what he's saying. You can't order the water and say, well, and hold the wet. No. He's going to tell you bottom line. What part did you forsake the assembly? He said, I made a profound statement after I've done me some healing, and I looked and I went into this great big trip of Southern Kingdom, and I looked directly at somebody in 5:14. And I said something to him in St. John 5:14. What did I say to him in 5:14 there, Brother Yahdai Israel? What did he say?
Because St. John 5:14 reads, afterward, Yahweh found him in the temple and said unto him, behold, you are made whole. Sin no more. He said, worst thing come unto you.
Did that man just say it? See, Yahweh looks for you in the temple. Because David, you know, has a great big palace, big old palace. And David says in 7:3:17, I believe he got a great big old palace. But you know what David says in 7:3:17? This is the one that's going to be king forever. Look what he says, and then we'll precept that to 1:22. Verse number one. The same David talking. He blamed something in 7:3:17. Then he wrapped it up in 1:22, verse one. Let's see what he says that we all can read together. 7:3:17 and 1:22, verse one. Brother Yahdai Israel, come on.
The book of Psalms, chapter 73, verse 17. Until I went into the temple of Yahweh, then understood I herein.
1:22, verse 1.
The book of Psalms 1:22, verse number 1 reads, book of Psalms 1:22, verse number 1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the temple of Yahweh.
So you see, this is the man going to be king over Israel forever. He was letting you know when it comes down to the temple, he was glad to get there. Glad to get there. And what we notice about this, these are the ones that's going to be, but the ones that think they can come up another way, he said, see, you might well tell them that by coming up another way, when their own mind tell them that I got a contact with them. It's just like ordering water and holding back the wet. You know you can't do that. So Yahweh told you plainly, that you cannot do what you think you're doing, and your face is not in the place of the sixth location of voices of the true Israelite. It don't work like that. So he's telling you off the top, you're on the plan with yourself. Yahweh said plainly, you can't oil the water and hold the wet back. You can do all the good deeds you want to do, but your face is not in the place of the six anointed camps on Sabbath day, feast days, and got them fringes on. You just a ticking time bomb to yourself. According to what he says in Matthew 7:19, look what he said. See, remember, we only a messenger. And we'll say it again in Galatians 4:16. What it say again? Galatians 4:16.
Book of Galatians, chapter 4, verse number 16 reads. Am I therefore become your enemy, because I tell you the truth.
And the seer in end time prophecy, Zechariah 14:19 says what? Now about this. Here's end time prophecy. The Almighty was shown, have shown the seer, Zechariah. And he said, Zechariah, put this in my in the book. And just put it there. All one going to read it is the one going to come after you, but they're going to make it plain. You just put it in there. Zechariah 14:19 says what? Now, you see what I said? What do Zechariah 14:19 say? What do you say, Brother Yahdai Israel?
Because Zechariah 14:19. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the feast of tabernacles.
He say it's a punishment if you don't come up to keep the feast of tabernacles. He said, all nations. It is a punishment. He's a seer. Put it. Just write it down. Because all one going to read that verse is the sixth anointed captive. Voices of the truth is like, let you know, I don't care what good deeds you have did. If you don't come up, feast of tabernacle, which is Yahweh's feast, he say, I'm going to punish you. Good. That's what he said. Said we believe that word just what it said, punishment. I'm gonna punish you for not keeping the peace. Now, did we read Matthew 7:19 there, Brother Yahdai Israel?
No, sir.
Okay, let's see what it, again. Let's see what it says in 7:19.
The book of Matthew 7:19. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire.
You hear the man say it? He said, look here. And in St. John, well, make it Matthew. You said we already in Matthew. We might go to Matthew 25. We might go to Matthew. See, our job is to make sure we tell you the truth. See, that's all we're going to do is tell you what the Bible's saying. And that's just the way it is. And the 25th chapter of the Bible on Matthew says what? In verse 30. He said, it's going to come a time that this going to kick in. That's what Yahweh says. And 25, verse 30 of Matthew, and we'll look him up real good in verse 46. Let you know. It's not going to be a temporary thing. But we're going to see what he's saying in Matthew 25:30-46.
The book of Matthew 25:46 reads, book of Matthew 25:30, and catch you the unprofitable servant to outer darkness, that should be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Verse 46, these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal.
You hear what he said? So, you know, our job is just read the Bible. You hear what he said? He said, look here. If you ain't doing it the way it's written. Now, look what he says in 22 verse 1 of Matthew. Stay in Matthew just another second. Let's show you how he throws his little parables out there. He throws them out there in the Bible. And you say, I don't care how much you read, Sarah, but you're going to do it the way I tell you to do it. What lesson you got on tape, although you didn't, you're taught 2.5 classes a day, and you're doing this, and you're still right. But you still do it the way I tell you to do it. 22 verse 1. He's going to tell you what this is. But listen to what he's saying, what this is. Matthew 22, pick up verse 1. I need verse 1. Let me expound on verse 1. He's going to tell you something, what this is. And 22 verse 1, Matthew.
The book of Matthew 22, verse number 1. And Yahweh the Son answered and spake unto them again by parables and said.
So he's speaking by parables. He's speaking by parables. Now precept that back to Mark 4, 9 through 11. He said, he's speaking in parables. That's what he's doing. But look what he got written in Mark chapter 4, 9 through 11, by him speaking in parables.
The book of Mark chapter 4, verse 5 through 11 reads, Mark 4, verse number 9, and he said unto them, ye that have an ear to hear, let them hear. Verse 10, when they was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked him the parable. Verse 11. He said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of Yahweh. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables.
So let me say, he said now those that got here to hear gonna hear what he's saying. But those that don't, they're not gonna hear this. They still think they can catch a homeless outside and give him $5-$10 and you got a blessing. And ignore everything you got written that in the book because you are help somebody. No, see, right? You can't do it the way you want to do it. He let you know it's not going to work. You got to do it the way the Bible tells you to do it. Everything got to be set the way the Bible said do it. All six locations is open for the fourth day of the feast. You can't forsake the assembly. I don't care what good deeds you have been thanking Yahweh gonna give you a blessing. He's telling you exactly what you got coming when it's all said and done. You read it for yourself. I know we're getting ready to read some more of this parable, but we want to back up a little bit more and look at Matthew 13:13. Let's see what it says in 13:13.
Book of Matthew, chapter 13, verse 13 reads. Book of Matthew 13, verse number 13. Matthew 13, verse number 13. If one speak to them in parables, because they see it, see not, and hear they hear not, neither do they understand.
This is the greatest piece of literature here. And that's why we know the six anointed camps got his word. See, you can hear this teaching the same way you hear the old seal doing it in any one of the five locations, six locations, because they all understand you got to teach the Bible. So he tell you bottom line, this is a parable. But all the ones going to hear it, and majority of them is not going to hear it. But our job is to let you hear it so you can be clear. But no hope that you think you're going to make it to no more than what he's telling you to make it to. Have you done your good deeds, whatever you did? If you don't line up with none of what this Bible says, the man going to burn you in the fire. You got it? Good. let's skip down to verse 34. Now here we go again, 34 and 35. What do you say?
Book of Matthew 13, verse 34 and 35 reads. Matthew 13, verse 34. All these things spake Yahweh the Son unto the multitude in parables. Without a parable spake he not unto them. Verse 35. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the seer, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the earth.
What have been kept secret, Brother Yahdai Israel, that we can read? What have been kept secret before the foundation of the world? See, the key said, the key to that is a word called secret. What have been kept secret since the foundation of the world? All you do is precept your Bible. 29, verse 29 of Deuteronomy. So what have been kept secret since the foundation of the world that we can read? What can we read that have been kept secret? Deuteronomy 29, 29, come on.
Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 29, verse 29 reads. Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 29, verse number 29. The secret things belong unto Yahweh, our Yahweh. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our families forever, that we may do all the words of this Torah instructions.
The secret things of Torah instructions, see, right? That is the greatest elephant in the closet. Now imagine you trying to get that old piece of suit in the closet and the elephant in the closet already. And you trying to hang your suit up and you got a 10-ton elephant in there. You know what the secret is, see, right? The man going to judge you by the Torah's fucking see, right? That's the secret. So whatever good you do, if you don't allow the Torah instruction, you know, on your ATM card, you put it in, oh, I got plenty of money in there. But on your spiritual card, you're bankruptcy. You're bankrupt. Nothing on it. Because he gonna say, put your card into the eternal light and see if it come back to you. Not only come back to you, they're going to jump back to you and hit you side of the neck. And you going to say, everything we're telling you now is going to come back to you in that day. And that's what we're not reading the vision of Paul 44. He said, they say, Yahweh, the Son, give us a little refreshment. Because if we would have even known we would have done nothing but Torah instruction, he said, well, why should I do anything for you? How did my works look in your life? Oh, well, how many Sabbath days did you keep? How many days you walked out and had your fingers on? Went out of order for me? How many days I tell you of what I told the seer to pass on? How much did you keep of that? How many times I told you that the blessing is past your wrist? See what the man gonna say? How are you gonna ask you, see, right? He gonna pull out your book. He gonna be looking at your book and say, you bankruptcy. You ain't got nothing coming. So now we're in 38th chapter, right? Then look what he says here in verse number 40 and 42 and 43. Now listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what he said, because this is a man called in from the beginning, right? Look what he says in verse number 40 and 42 and 43. The same book of Matthew 13, verse 40, 42, and 43. Look what he said.
Book of Matthew, chapter 13, verse 42, and verse number 42.
Yeah. Yes, sir. And 43. What do verse 40 say and skip down to 42 and 43? What does it say there, brother? Yahdai Israel, see right.
Book of Matthew 13, verse number 40. And therefore the tares are gathered and burnt in the fire. So shall it be in the end of this world. Verse 42. It shall cast them into a furnace of fire that should be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Verse 43. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever ears to hear, let them hear.
He said the righteous is going to do that. And you already know what the righteous mean, right? 142, 140, 142, 144 is the one that kept the first five books. The only one going to shine in it is the righteous. The definition of righteous is Psalm 142, 144. We ain't going to read. If you ain't got the Torah instruction, you're not righteous. You're not righteous. The one that's righteous going to shine is the one that got the Torah instruction. That's the one is righteous. So examine yourself in 13, 5 through 8 of 2 Corinthians. He said, examine yourself. He says, you can't put nothing against the truth. If you righteous, you keeping the first five books. That is the secret. That's the same secret in Psalms 91. The one that lives in the mind and do the secret things of Psalm 91, which is the Torah instruction. So if you're not doing a Torah instruction, the man going to burn you in the fire according to the scriptures. He going to say, the one that kept it, they going to shine. And we know what that means in 8 verse 1. Wisdom make a man's face to shine to say, oh, that what the Bible say? Then how do I line up with what the Bible say? Or do you line up with what my feelings say? You're going to lose here, right? Can you not? So when we read 2 Ezra 7, 57, listen what he tell you. Listen what he tells you. He told those seers something in 7, 57. He said, that sounds pretty good, sir, but what you say what the old seer says in 7:57 of 2 Ezra? Listen to what he says. What he say?
Book of 2 Ezra, chapter 7, verse 57 reads, 2 Ezra 7, verse 57. Then answered he me and said, this is a condition of the battle. Which man and woman that is born upon the earth shall fight.
Read that again. He says, this is the rules and regulation to the battle you got between your ears. This is the rules and regulation. This is their answer, right? Listen what he told Ezra to put in 7, verse 57. What did he say?
The book of 2 Ezra 7, verse 57 reads, then answered he me and said, this is the condition of the battle, which man and woman that is born upon the earth shall fight.
Listen, the condition of the battle to get to, you must keep the Torah instruction. The condition of the battle, you must wear fringes. Because he gave it to you with all that power. You got your fringes on. You're keeping the Sabbath day. You're keeping the feast day. Your spirit is up. You're coming in. If you don't fit that, the man going to bind you in the back. Now we're going back to this 22nd chapter and watch the condition of the battle. We're going back to Matthew. Remember, it was a parable. But parable is dark sands to be. In 22 verse 1, it says it was a parable. Didn't he say that? Now we're going to read 22 verse 2. Now listen to the conversation that's going on in Matthew 22 verse 2. Let's read a little bit of that, Brother Yag. Let's see this conversation that's going on.
Book of verse Matthew 22.
Because tonight, it get ready to get in red. So you know, it tell you, when you read it in red, that's Yahweh the Son talking, okay? That's Yahweh's son talking. Let's hear what he's saying in verse 2 down to verse 13.
Book of Matthew 22, verse 2. Verse number 2 through 13 reads. Book of Matthew 22, verse 2. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, verse number 3, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bid to the wedding, and they would not come. Verse 4, again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bid, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. Verse 5, but they made light of it and went their way, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. Verse 6, and the remnant took his servant and entreated them spitefully and slew him. Verse 7, but when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his army, and destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Verse 8, then said he to his servant, the wedding is ready, but they which were bid were not worthy. Verse 9, go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid to the marriage. Verse 10, so those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. Verse 11, when the king came in to see the guests, saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. Verse 12.
Hold that part. Hold that part. What do you mean by he found a man that didn't have him on a wedding garment? A man had a, what are you talking about? Back up to 15:37-39. What kind of wedding garment he supposed to have on? What's going on here that we can read? Back up to the 15th chapter and pick up verse 37. Let's see what is he pulling? What you mean a man didn't have on a wedding garment? Where is you pulling that from? You know a man, he didn't want to leave his family. So the man pertains to everything that's tied to his hip. What's he talking about in 15 chapter 37-39 of Numbers? Come on.
The book of Numbers chapter 15, verse 37-39 reads. Numbers 15, verse 37. Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, verse 38, speak unto the family of Israel, and bid them, that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generation, that they put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue. Verse 39, it shall be for you, and it shall be unto you for a fringe, that you may look upon it and remember all the Torah structures of Yahweh, and do them, that you seek not after your own mind, your own eyes, after which you used to go a whoring.
You know, Luke picked up on that, because Luke was listening. And remember, when you read it, it read that's Yahweh talking. So now Luke was writing, like Matthew was writing, Luke was writing too. Look what Luke says in the 14th chapter, verse 21. And let's read a little bit down to verse 24. Oh, Luke, he was writing, and Yahweh told him, put this down, Luke. Luke 14, 21 down to verse 24.
Book of Luke 14, verse 21 through 24 reads. Book of Luke chapter 14, verse 21. So that servant came and showed his Yahweh these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the street and lanes of the city, bringing hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind.
Hold that point. You say he was angry. What do Yahweh do when he get angry in 1927 and come back? What do Yahweh do when he get angry? Is this thing in... See, this guy just don't get angry and don't have nothing written. It's okay. Look what he got written in 1927 of Luke about him getting angry. What did he say? 1927, come right back.
The book of Luke 19, verse 27 reads, those my enemies, which were not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me.
You hear the man say? This man got all the power. So when he's angry, it's going to be a day coming. If he's angry with you, he's going to say, bring that person with that before me and kill him before me. That will slay me. You see, I see, right? Now, for this, so you see what's going to happen with the spirit that you have when you do your own thing. It tells you in Sirach 6, verse 2. Look what it tell you. Look what it tell you. See, they tell you all the book. You know what our job to do in the 609 account is bring up scripture and just see what, and see will it work for you. Will it work for you? Will it tap you out your head and say, whoa, how can all these scriptures be in this book? And I don't take no little mind of none of them. 6 verse 2 says what? Sirach 6, 2.
The book of Sirach, chapter 6, verse number 2 reads. Book of Sirach, chapter 6, verse number 2. Extol not yourself in the counsel of your own mind, that you be not torn in pieces as a bull straying along.
You see that? Yeah. Did you hear what he said? He said, if you do this thing with your own mind, it's just like a bull caught out there alone. And a nice wolf pack see it, lion pack see it. You know his chances. You're going to be torn in pieces in time to come. So if this is the matter that you think, because you do some good things, whenever you see somebody need something, you rest there, obey them. That's because they're going to cut it. You can't order the water. It's a total wet. Don't do the Torah instruction. The man going to burn you in the back. Six locations is open. You pick one of them and get in there. Call for detail. Get in where you fit in at. But have big ears, little mouth, fringes on. Receive the blessing of Yahweh. They pull us too late. Now, back to Luke again now. So now Luke wrote something. And what did Luke say is, did we read the whole 21?
Yeah, we read all the 21.
Okay, well, what does it say in 22 down to verse 24? Well, what do it say there, Brother Yahdai Israel?
Luke 14, verse 22. The servant said, Yahweh, it is done as thou hast commanded, yet there is room. Verse 23. Mm-hmm. And Yahweh said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Verse 24. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bid shall taste of my supper.
Ain't that so? Ain't that so? He said, go out there and compel them. Compel them. Hey, come. Six anointed camp. Put your fringes on. Compel them to come in. Come. He said, go out there and compel them to put them fringes on. Go out there and compel them to get to one of them six locations. Get in where you fit in with big ears or little mouth. Compel them. If they don't, they're not going to taste none of my supper. But what they're going to taste, go back to 22. Now go back to 22 and find what you're going to taste. I mean, according to the Bible. But Yahweh told Hosea what to show what they're going to taste if they don't take heed. But he says, still room. Room means still time. If you're hearing this message, I mean, you got time. But if you ain't hearing this message, you ain't got no more time. So in the 22nd chapter, what did he say in verse 3 again?
The book of Matthew.
Mm-hmm.
Book of Matthew 22, verse number 3. And he says, for this servant, call them that were bid to the wedding, and they would not come.
Good. He beat them to come in, but they wouldn't come in. Now, but here goes some that did came in. But then here come your king in 149. Your king is Yahweh the Son. Then he tell you his apparel in 21. But he's really showing you exactly what it's going to be about. Look what he said. Here come the king in verse 11. What the king see and do and say in Matthew 22, 11?
Look at Matthew 22, verse 11. When the king came in to see the gifts, Yahweh the Son, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment, fringes, verse 12. And he said unto him, Friend, how camest you in hither, not having on a wedding garment with fringes? And he was speechless. Verse 13. Then said the king to the servant, bind him hand and foot, take him away, cast him into outer darkness, for there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
What do Titus 1 verse 2 say? Behind all that good reading, what do Titus 1 verse 2 say?
Look at Titus chapter 1, verse number 2 reads. Look at Titus 1, verse number 2. And hope of eternal life, which Yahweh, and hope of eternal life, which Yahweh that cannot lie promise before the world began.
Paul was invited to the temple again, and Paul made a profound statement in the 11th chapter, verse 6 of the book of Hebrews, a little title called Hebrews. Paul says something. But what really interests me is where he pulled that from. What he says in 11 verse 6. But what interests me is where he pulled that from. Because I know he wasn't just talking. And that's the same thing. When you learn how to pull verses, that's the game changer, see, right? That's why we call it a network. And it ain't a lesson that we put on the table that any organization, any camp can dispute one word. Because we're asking a question. Well, precept that if you don't believe that. You know they lost. See? They can't do it. Because when you precept your Bible, that shut the game sales down. What's that, WCC? I ain't even repeat what you just said. I'm going to leave that like it is. So now look. So in 11 verse 6, but I'm telling you something. Sooner or later, every wise man, woman, children going to be looking for the six of money counts as this thing get heated up. And that's what we doing is organizing, but according to what? The rule of Yahweh. We be sitting there waiting on you. You hear? So look, it says in the book of Hebrews, put it tight, called Hebrews 11, verse 6. But what, like I said, what interests me, it's what he pulled that from. What he said here in 11, verse 6?
The book of Hebrews. Hello, the word Hebrews. Chapter 11, verse number 6 reads, But without the covenant, it is impossible to please him. He that cometh to Yahweh must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
He said, So if you ain't got the covenant and you got his name in your mouth, he said, no good. No, don't worry about that. Nope. You got to see him. Now, but we got to find out where did he pull that verse from. And he pulled that verse from somewhere. So to seek Yahweh, you got to do what? Let me get warmed up in 13:27. Getting what I need out of the book of Acts. And let's get warm up right there in 13:27. Just get warmed up. So all the way you're thinking, we'll get warmed up in Acts 13:27.
Book of Acts chapter 13, verse 27 reads, for they that dwelled at Yagdah Judah, the southern kingdom, and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the seers, which are read every Sabbath day there for fear and condemning him.
Yeah, but I know he pulled that verse. Let's run to the 29th chapter of the book of Exodus. That has been pulled. Because Yahweh is talking about it's a need place to be met at. So we got to find out. Remember we read in 5:14, he looked for the guy in the temple and said, look here. He said, hey, come here. You're in the right place, the temple. He said, but don't sin no more. Make sure that you make it your business to be at the temple on them Sabbath days and feast days. Do the worst thing gonna come upon you. You got it? Go ahead. So now, but we know Paul has to pull that from somewhere. Let's run back to the 29th chapter and pick up verse 4 and 3, down to verse 4-6 of Exodus. Because see, remember, all you're supposed to do is be able to pull verses. What you think and what you feel should never come up. Pull a verse and comment on the verse. That's when we know he's working with something. When he 334, you were not going to read, he'll give it to you without measurement. He let you read something somewhere else. Then you show you where you pull it at, and then you study it, like we were showing the brother yesterday. Just can't just write down scripture, but leave eyes open and put what that scripture means. Just don't just write down a bunch of scriptures that you ain't got nothing behind it. Leave a couple of blank lines up on it and put down, well, I'm reading this because this says that. Okay. And that's how Yahweh started increasing your increase. Just don't write down a bunch of scriptures. Because he asked you what that scripture is. Oh, my God. Because you didn't give yourself no. So you do come to one of the scriptures on the capital. We'll show you. Just don't write the scripture down and don't give yourself a little wiggle room to write what he's talking about to you. So in 29th chapter, verse 43-46, let's see what Paul pulled that from. Come out.
The book of Exodus, chapter 29, verse 43-46 reads, Exodus 29, verse 43. There I met with the family of Israel and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my greatness. Verse 44. I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. I will sanctify also both Aaron and his son to minister me in the priest's office. Verse 45. I will dwell among the family of Israel and will be their Yahweh. Verse 46. They shall know that I am Yahweh, their Yahweh, that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, the land of bondage, that I may dwell among them. I am Yahweh there, Yahweh.
Why do you say he'll meet you in verse 43? But remember, you precept that to 13:27. The voice of the seers is ready every Saturday. So what? This is Yahweh, ain't going to meet you yet. So now if you put that together, you understand one thing. You know, on the network, hey, no power to you. But if you don't do it the way the man got in the Bible, you're just wasting your time. I'll tell you up front. Verse 43.
Verse number 43. There I will meet with the family of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my greatness.
That's how he's going to meet you. He'll meet you through, but remember what he said now. Remember what he said in 14 verse 12, St. John now. Remember, if you want him to meet you, don't forget what he said as he was getting ready to go back up and sit on the right hand of his father. He said something in 14 verse 12, exactly how the meeting going to have to be. In 14 verse 12, he said, I'm going somewhere, and the next time I return, it's to bust some heads. But it's still a meeting going on, according to St. John 14, 12. What does it say in 14 verse 12?
The book of St. John 14. Verse number 12 reads, St. John 14, verse 12. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than thee shall he do, because I go unto my Father.
So he said, he don't do greater works than me. And he, all you do, go to 3, verse 7, and get to who he is. It tell you what he is, that preach up your Bible. Amos 3, verse 7. Who did he? Who did he going to do greater works than he? Because he going to the Father and sit on the right hand of the Father. So who is the he? Go to precept your Bible, 3, verse 7 of Amos. And then you'll know who the he is. What does it say?
The book of Amos 3, verse number 7. Surely Yahweh would do nothing, but he reveals his secret unto his servants, the seal.
End time prophecy, about 7 verse 10 of Revelation. Let me tell you something, Steve, right here. You know, sooner or later, you're going to recognize the sign of the time, and they're going to hit you. I don't know where you're going to be at, but sooner or later, you're about to be driving the car or just might be sweeping the porch off. And it's going to dawn on you, Ezekiel 33, 33. What does it say anyway? What does Ezekiel 33, 33 say anyway, Brother Yahweh Israel?
The book of Ezekiel, chapter 33, verse number 33 reads, the book of Ezekiel 33, verse number 33. And when this cometh to pass, though it will come, then shall they know that a seer have been among them.
Sooner or later, you're going to pick it out. You're going to pick out what's written over in 10 verse 7 of Revelation. It's going to hit you. I don't know what you might be doing. You might be backbiting up, being a cowbell on a telephone. And all of a sudden, it's going to hit you that something is written in Revelation 10 verse 7. And then you're going to start saying, you know, I don't like that old seer, but I come down to what he's saying in this book. I don't see his name on none of this stuff, but I see that it's saying 10 verse 7. What's saying 10 verse 7? Revelation.
Revelation 10. Book of Revelation 10, verse number 7 reads, but in the days of the voice of the seven ministers' spirit, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of Yahweh shall be finished, as he had declared to his servants the seal.
Okay. So you see who he told us to? The he always got fear in every walk of life. You got to recognize the sign of time. And how you know a seer in the midst of thee? When you just look at 9:27, just close the eyes and listen and see what it says in 9:27, 1 Samuel. Then you start putting together. 9:27. Now who's the 9:27 of 1 Samuel? What it says in 1 Samuel 9:27?
The book of 1 Samuel 9, verse 27 reads, and as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel the seer said to Saul, bid the servant pass on before. He passed on. But say you still a while that I may show you the word.
Oh, yeah. Ain't that a 3-hour broadcast? And they pecking at the door trying to get in some more. See, pecking at the door trying to get in some more. You know you can't keep a attention span back. Tell somebody, in the broadcast program for 3 hours, you can't keep my attention 5 minutes. That's why I tell them all, come listen 5 minutes. Next thing you know, they just in 3 hours. You got dog. Them 3 hours run so doggone fast. You see what I'm saying, see, Ray? And that don't make you understand something. 3 hour broadcast, six days a week. You ain't got the picture yet. Go to Leviticus 22. Pick up verse 26. That above y'all got Israel. Leviticus 22, verse 26, 27, 29. 31 to 33. Because they were pulling verses all day long. They tell you the secret lies in the scriptures, right? First five books. The secret lies in the scriptures. We're going to Leviticus 22. Look at verse 26, 27, 29, 31 to 33. What did it say that, Brother Yahweh Israel?
The book of Leviticus, chapter 22, verse 26, 27. Verse 32, 39 through 42.
Yeah, put 29 in there, Brother Yahweh Israel. Put 26, 27, 29, and 31 through 33. Put Put that in there and see what it says. They say the mystery lies in the first five books, right? We're going to take a little peek and see what mysteries to see on unfold to the six anointed camps. What it says there? Leviticus 22, 26, 27, 29, 31, down to verse 33. What it says, Brother Yahdai Israel?
Leviticus chapter 22, verse 26, 27, verse 29, 31, and 32. Book of Leviticus 22, verse 26. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, verse 27, when a bullock or a sheep or a goat is brought forth, then it shall be 7 days under the dam. And from the eighth day, and this forth, it shall be accepted for an offering made by fire unto Yahweh. Verse 29, and when you will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto Yahweh, offer it at your own will. Verse 31. Therefore shall you keep my Torah instructions and do them. I am Yahweh. Verse 32. Here shall you profane my righteous name, and I will be hallowed, family of Israel. I am Yahweh, which hallowed you.
What do verse 26 say?
The book of Leviticus 22, verse 26. Yahweh spake unto Moses.
Verse 26, what it say?
And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying.
Keep reading a little bit more what he said. So Yahweh talking. What does he say? Keep reading a little bit more or what else he saying? In 26, 27.
Verse 27. When a bullock or a sheep or a goat is brought forth, it shall be 7 days under the dam. From the eighth day, this forth, it shall be accepted for an offering made by fire unto Yahweh.
So you got 7 days of the Feast of Tabernacles, but when you go on the eighth day, that's the time that nothing dies no more, see, right here. So the eighth day, so on the eighth day, nothing dies no more. So remember one thing, on that feast of the eighth day, you can't kill nothing because everything, it's in the seventh. So in the eighth day, nothing dies no more. So all death have been abolished. So you can't be on that day of the feast, of the eight-day feast, doing nothing to eat with anything, just kill it. Everything got to be alive. Everything got to be alive. Because it ain't going to be no death. So what you going to bring on the eighth day? I'm going to bring a pot roast. No. You don't bring nothing that dies. Everything you bring on the eighth day is live. It's live food. Because when you get into a new beginning, it ain't no more dying no more. It ain't nothing you're going to catch and cut it down and kill it and eat it. Anything you cut off the back off of anything once that eighth day end, they're going to say, what you cut off me? I don't die no more. New death been abolished, see, right? That's why you got to be in the right ministry. The eighth day ain't nothing going to die no more. So how you bringing food that got some death in it? The death is over with. You in the new beginning. The seventh will pass. Now you in the new beginning. So see how it's so important to listen to the six anointed camps. And we want the best of them be astonished. But we teach the same way every year. Once you complete the 7 days, all the what you're going to eat that got some dying to it, when that sunset on the eighth day, then everything on that day, that whole day, you eat nothing that dies. You can't kill nothing no more because death done passed away in the eighth day. You got it? Good. Let's get one more out of that, Brother Yahdai Israel, and go to the 43rd chapter. And then Yahweh is going to tell you something in the 43rd chapter of Ezekiel. So on the eighth day, sitting on the camp, you know it anyway, right? There is nothing to bring that got death in it, No, nothing that dies because you go back to the way you was in the garden. So nobody wasn't killing nothing. So everything going to be reversed back. And that eighth day is a rehearsal of that feast day that based upon the fact that you don't eat nothing on the eighth day that dies because you ain't going to be able to kill nothing no more. You see? But the world gonna catch on to it because they're gonna follow the lead of the Sixth Anointed Camp. Can't kill on the eighth day. That's new beginning. The Father back. Then he says here in the 43rd chapter, verse 26 and 27. Look what he says here. He mentions a final statement in the book called Ezekiel the Seer, 43rd chapter, verse 26 and 27. Listen to the conversation you're getting ready to read.
Book of Ezekiel 43, verse 26, verse 27 reads, Ezekiel 43, verse 26. 7 days shall they purge the altar and purify it. They shall consecrate themselves. Verse 27. When these days are expired, it shall be that upon the eighth day and so forth, the priest shall make your burnt offering upon the altar, your peace offering. And I will accept you, save Yahweh.
See, you, if you ain't there where the seer can hit you inside all that oil and you have done it another way, come another way, you still didn't do it. You say, I'm not going to accept you until the seer hit you that oil. So you got to be in one that is anointed in the sixth camp. You got to be in one eighth camp for you to be accepted to go off into the eighth day. So if you think you do your own thing on the seventh day, the eighth day, you're lost again. But he tell you right here, but all way you're going to be accepted is what? In verse 27. It is right in the Bible. Listen to what he says, the only way you're going to be accepted. So, I'm a cook now. I'm going to cook me little vegetables and I'm going to do it. You can do whatever you want to do. But if you don't do it the way the Bible do it, you're just wasting your time. Look at that in verse 27. 43, 27.
Verse number 27. When these days are expired, it shall be that upon the eighth day and so forth, the priest shall make you a burnt offering upon the altar, your peace offering, and I will accept you, save Yahweh.
And who gonna do what on the eighth day, brother Yahdai Israel? You got a who gonna do what on the eighth day? In the third line, eighth day.
The priest shall make your burnt offering upon the altar.
You see that? You see that? So they got to kick in for you. The seer and the ones that have been anointed, they got to kick in for you now. They got to say something over you and hit you with some oil. Then Yahweh said, I'm going to accept you. We heard the word called the priest, right? We let that word stay there for a minute. But let's run all the way back to the 7th chapter, verse 1. That's why I said you got to be, when you precept your Bible, it'll tell a story. 7, verse 1, Exodus.
Book of Exodus, chapter 7, verse number 1 reads, Exodus, chapter 7, verse number 1. Book of Exodus, chapter 7. Number one read, Yahweh said unto Moses, they have made thee a Yahweh to Pharaoh, and Aaron your brother shall be your seer.
All right. Now let's run back to Leviticus chapter 9. Let's run back to Leviticus chapter 9, and let's see what's going on in 9, verse 1, and skip down to verse 20. No, it's 9, verse 1. That's good. We can go time around again. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 9, verse 1. Let's see what we got in Leviticus chapter 9, verse number 1. So we're reading that, Brother Yahdai Israel.
The book of Leviticus chapter 9, verse number 1 reads, Leviticus chapter 9, verse number 1. Book of Leviticus chapter 9, verse 1. And it came to pass on the eighth day that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel.
Ain't that something? He said. So you see what it means? Moses, the Yahweh, instead called Aaron the seer to get the sons to do what? start reading a bit. Verse 2. Take it down to verse 5.
Verse number 2. He said unto Aaron, take you a young calf for a sin offering, a ram for a burnt offering without blemish, and offer them before Yahweh. Verse 3.
Good. Good. Hold on. Get on verse 5.
Verse number 5. They brought that which Moses commanded before the tabernacle of the congregation. Now the congregation drew near for Yahweh.
Okay, see, they was all in the thing, see, right? Skip down to verse 23. They was all in it, see, because Aaron and Aaron were doing what Moses told them to do. In the sixth anointed calf, he's going to do what the seer and the elders tell them to do. See, we're going to do the Bible. That's all we're going to do. See, our job is to hear what the Bible saying. 23 and 24.
Verse 23. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation, came out and blessed the people. The greatness of Yahweh appeared unto all the people. Verse 24. There came fire out from Yahweh, consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat. When all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces.
And what was Aaron doing when all that was going on in verse 22? What was Aaron doing?
Verse 22. And Aaron lifted up his hand toward the people and blessed them. Came down from the offering of the sin offering and burnt offering and peace offering.
Ain't that something? And Aaron lifted up his hand and blessed him. So let's see, Ray. So you got it? You got the picture? The ones that been anointed have to get you off into the eighth day. So if you don't make it to one of the six camps and be anointed to get an eighth day, you're wasting time. There's what they're right. Only way you're going to be accepted, you must be hit with some oil by one of the members that's been anointed in the sixth anointed camp. We'll give you a precept on him to close out with this. Turn to the book of Job there, brother Ishkar's boy. I'll tell you a story so you can say you can do anything you want to do on your own. You keep the Sabbath day on your own. You keep the feast day on your own. You don't have to don't wear no fringes. All you're doing is wasting your time. The man going to burn you in the fire because he tell you exactly how it works. Only way you're going to be accepted. Okay, I'm going to pull a rabbit out of that. I ain't going to do no more. Go to 4 verse 6 and come right back in Sirach. See?
Book of Sirach.
You try to keep getting around knowing leadership, you lose, WCC. Do you know what's written in 4 verse 6? What is written?
The book of Sirach 4, verse number 6. Where he cursed thee in the bitterness of his mouth, his prayer shall be heard, made him.
See, you don't understand the power that has been passed, and Yahweh don't change. See, if the seer get mad at you and curse you in the bitter of his mind, his prayer going to be heard, see, right? Huh? I'd rather take a nap in right the eyes and let you continue until you figure out that I'm out of order everywhere. What we're getting ready to read, yeah, the book of Job. Let's close out, brother Yahweh Israel. Run the book of Job and let old Issachar's boy put the seal of deal. Let old Issachar's boy seal a deal on this. So you see, you got to keep the feast day where your fringe is on and all that old good stuff. And then you got to be anointed by the ones that have been anointed for this job. And then he said, you've been accepted. And we get a case in point. I don't care what kind of status you're in. We go on to the book of Job and get a case in point and look what Yahweh said in the book of Job. If I can find me some Job, where Job at? He's rolling Job and prove the point. See, I got to go to Job and prove the point. That's all. Let's see what we're going to see what it says in the book of Job there, Brother Yahweh Israel. And we'll get right down to it. What it says in verse 4-2, verse 9. We just take it right there, 4-2, verse 9. What's it saying, 4-2, verse 9?
The book of Job, 42, verse number 9 reads, so Eliphaz, the Temanite, and Bildad, the Shuhite, so far the Nethmanite went and did according as Yahweh commanded them. Yahweh also accepted Job.
Okay, good. They don't. Well, what did they do? That's why when you hear the message, you got to do once you hear the message. Back of 9, back of the verse 8.
Verse number 8. Book of Job 42, verse 8. Therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks, 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourself a burnt offering. My servant Job shall pray for you. Well, him will I accept. If I deal with you after your folly, that you have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job.
Well, you know, right now you can't be bringing no bullocks and no when you're out of oil, you can't bring no bullock and bring a long conversation because you know that don't work now. So he fixed that with another sin in 38:11. And what you gotta do to tie in his name now in Sirach 38:11. So you gotta have some 38:11 in. You know, that's just what you gotta do. Some Sirach 38:11. What it say in 38:11?
The book of Sirach, chapter 38, verse number 11 reads, Sirach 38, verse 11. Give a sweet savior, memorial fine flower, and make a fat offering.
That's how you going to do now. You got to make a fat three-wheel offering. Then those seals say, well, yeah, while they sins has been forgiven. That's the power of the book. I mean, there it is right there. You just can't confess with your mouth and you ain't made a fat three-wheel offering. He did that. And he, you know, he says, he made it plain to you here. He said, all woman here is my boy Issachar's boy. He's out. If he say you all right, then you all right. You ain't all right through him, you ain't all right through him. Through him. Hey, but that's ain't right. Is you going to believe the Bible? Ain't nothing rehearsed. Brother Yahdai Israel, close the statement until we get back here tomorrow. You on the clock, come up.
Hallelujah, Kwah, hallelujah, Kwah, hallelujah, Kwah. Love the way it's rolling out there, Seer Israel, of Seed Royal. Great work, Chief, to the four corners of the globe. Praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah, Kwah.
Hallelujah. Well, we're bringing our elder in for his closing statement on this. Remember one thing on Pal Talk. Any questions or comments or change anything you heard, you step to the plate and say something. You know, say something. We're here to tell you what the Bible says. It's all the truth the Bible says. So it's come another way you would peace in a rhyme according to 10:1. So you play what he got on table, no never mind. Then he's going to tell you the same thing. What you got on table will be no never mind him. That's fair. Well, we find Mr. Kim get a closing statement. Here he is. Hey, Mr. Kim, what's your closing statement behind that? You're on the clock. Come on.
Once again, Yahweh bless you, Seer Israel. And thank you for bringing me back into tonight's broadcast. And looks like we had thus far a good learning session. Those of us that focused on it, like I did, I thought everything was pretty good. But, you know, as I said before, a teacher can't learn from students, but having knowledge, he gains experience by teaching. So by teaching, all of us listening, we're learning from a good teacher. This is why we have to be aware by knowing the scriptures and being taught the Bible precepts. We're given the knowledge to know that those out there, they will camouflage their evil or confused teaching and overly loud bump the gums contests for their righteous learning, even using the Bible scriptures as verbal weapon to confuse you, to pull you away from the true words of Yahweh. This is why we're here to guide you through these dark times of bad teaching and Christianity. And welcome and thank all of you for attending our live broadcast of Yahweh's ministry that comes to you live and open to you always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. First and foremost, about Yahweh's word, connecting the Bible books for your education, your health, foods that you should eat, and keeping those Sabbath days. We do this because you have not. This is information you all came to seek. And now you have found what you have sought, and the voices of the true Israelites, tribe Yadav, that's open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And the days that we're open for your learning is Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. No class on Tuesday unless we have a special event. But we do have a Sabbath class. The top part of the Sabbath is Friday. Current time starting at 7:30 to 10:30. The bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. Temple class starts at 12 p.m. and the online class starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until the temple members desire to leave. We also have a website address. To use this on the search line in any one of your smart devices, enter www.tribeyhdh.com. After clicking it, just under the big line, you will see some choices. One will be tithes and offerings. You will click PayPal and follow the instructions. On any other device, you may see menu, but after clicking this, again, you'll see choices. Still choose tithes and offerings, and doing so, remember what it tells all of us in the Book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse 8. Verse 7 says, give unto your Yahuwah, O your kindreds of the people. Give unto the Yahuwah glory and strength. 8, give unto the Yahuwah the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Now, I always remind everyone to remember that Yahuwah loves a cheerful giver. Also, donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated that you give what's in your mind to keep this ministry bringing you Thus Says Yahuwah Live. Also, for building a school, a banquet hall, radio station, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Another note, don't forget to check our calendar. That will help keep you, your family, and friends in tune with the feast days that come to us throughout the year, which is often mentioned on this program. For the live program, this feature is only available during the live broadcast time. To get there, on any search engine, type in three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. After clicking it, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe Yadav. Click the red live button as soon as it appears, and you'll be right into our live online broadcast. Also, we're using two email addresses. The first is tribe, that's tribeyhdh @gmail.com. This is to write your written opinions and questions of a biblical subject answer or related topics. The other is yhdhysraeel@gmail.com, also for biblical subjects or related topics. We have a few numbers you can righteously call with Yahuwah in mind. The first would be our live conference room number. This is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This is our international number where you can call, leave message on scriptures that you have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the 600 camps of Yahuwah's ministry. Now, for those of you who have maybe missed the beginning of our program, you can always catch the entire show at 9:15 p.m., except Fridays. The program will be repeated after 10:30. To get there, type three words on the search line, Yahuwah Radio Live. After clicking enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe Yadav. Just choose the program that you are late logging into, or at that point, any previous day that you would like to listen. Now, also during the normal broadcast, we're also simultaneously transmitting on Pal Talk, as the CEO mentioned earlier during our broadcast. We'll be listed under ethnic group, African American. Look for Voices of the True Israelite. This is where Yahuwah's Word is also working for your Bible education. Online there to answer any online topics will be Elder Mr. Tibbs, along with Seer Israel, Writing Shotgun. We'll be taking no comments off topic or any more than two text questions answered at a time. Failure to follow these righteous acts, the elder will block or restrict misuse. And if brought up and before teaching time, our teaching will also continue on Pal Talk, where the audio is just as smooth as broadcast. At this particular time, we will turn our program back over to our Seer Israel. This would be a good time to keep those Bibles open, and actually should have been open earlier during our broadcast, taking notes so we can stay under Yahuwah's word. Pass our program back to Seer Israel. Say hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Hello, that was excellent again on your final close, but again, if any questions, they'll be on that Power Talk. Like I said again, on things said, I'm doing Power Talk is take notes. I'm a great note taker. I like taking notes. I take notes. That's all I do. It's not gonna be a question on that the other cannot answer. So I'm gonna just grab back and take notes. You know. So we're gonna look for the mothers and bring the mothers in and go in for the close of this broadcast right here. The mothers out of Camp One. So when you meet the mothers out of Camp One, Mother Z up Israel, Mother E, Mother Z come out of Camp One, and then I'll tell you something. When you see three in the Bible, that's serious. So you got some serious mothers in Camp One, and you got mothers in all the other camps too. But I'm telling you something. If word is going to go out, see right here. I'm going to keep telling you one thing. Get in where you've been in it before it's too late. We only can tell you. Y'all think you. So when you meet the mothers out of Camp One, Mother Dean of Israel, that's why Israel seen right.
Yahuwah bless you, Seer Israel of Sea Royal. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Mother E, Mother Z, coming out of Camp One, tribe of Yahdash Jew. Mother E, Yahdash Bijan of Sea Royal.
Yahuwah bless you, Israel of Sea Royal. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Mother Z, come out of Camp One. Mother E, I need to precept something that we just got to read out of the 38th chapter and see what word in verses. Remember, every verse is pulled from somewhere. Mother E, let's back up to 1 Samuel chapter 6. And we'll look at verse 2 down to verse 4 and 8. And yes, we want to get it out of the way. First, when you chapter 6, verse 2, 3, 4, and verse 8. Most of Israel, I'll meet you in 2 Kings chapter 6. Chapter 12. I'll meet you in the 12th chapter. But Mother E, 1 Samuel chapter 6, verse 2 down to verse 4 and verse 8. Let's get a precept of what we just got to take a look at in 38 verse 11. What does it say?
1 Samuel chapter 6, verse 2 to 4 and verse 8. Verse 2. And the judge signed Paul for the tree and the divine thing. What shall we do to the ark of the Yahuwah? Tell us where we are. We shall send it to his place. Verse 3. And they said, if you send away the ark of Yahuwah of Israel, send it not empty, but in any wise return him a trespass offering, then it shall be healed, and it shall be known to you why his hand is not removed from you. Verse 4. Then said they, what shall be their return to him? They answered, 5 golden amber and 5 golden mice according to the number of the Yahuwah of the Philistines. For one plague was on you all and on your Yahuwah. Verse 8. And take the ark of Yahuwah and lay it upon the chart and put the jewelry of gold which you returned him for a trespass offering in the offering by the side thereof, and send it away that it may go.
Mm-hmm. He said, well, you know you are transgressed. He said you got to make a trespass offering. It's called a trespass offering. You got to hit that box. When you know you're contrary to Dutch Yahuwah, you have stepping in Yahuwah, he said, guess what? He said, you got to make it that free will offering. He said, you got to hit that box. That's what he just said. He said, look at it. What's got put in that box? What they had? Gold, silver? He said, you better pack that box real good. That's what he just said. My bad, read that verse again at verse 8. See, they say, you got to pack the box real good. Hear this right in verse 8. Read again that mother E. Verse 8.
Verse 7 in chapter 6, verse 8. And take the ark of the Yahuwah and lay it upon the cart, and put the jewel of gold which you return him for a trespass offering, and a coffin by the side thereof, and send it away that it may go.
Is that? So you see that thing right there? That is right there. Mother D of Israel, let's go to our Second Kings chapter 12, verse 4. Let's go see what 12, verse 4 says.
2 Kings chapter 12, verse 4. And Joash said to the priests, all the money of the dedicated things that is brought unto the temple of Yahuwah, even the money of everyone that passes the account, the money that every man is set at, and all the money that cometh into any man's mind to bring into the temple of Yahuwah.
Yeah. Mother E. Have me on Luke 19, verse 1. So you see, the Bible will tell you what you got to do. If you know you are, you know you ain't doing Yahuwah's will, he try to tell you, this is all the way you'll get out of it. Verse 9.
2 Kings 12, 9. Okay. I can't see these words. Verse 9, and I'm going to say J. The priest took a chest and bored a hole in the lid of it and set it beside the altar on the right side as one cometh into the temple of Yahuwah. And the priests that kept the door put therein all the money that was brought into the temple of Yahuwah.
Mm-hmm. And what happened in verse 15 and 16? You know what I'm saying? And what happened in verse 15 and 16 we can read?
All right. 2 Kings 12, 15, 16, verse 15. Moreover, they reckoned not with the men into whose hand they delivered the money to be bestowed on workmen, for they dealt faithfully. 16. The trespass money and sin money was not brought into the temple of Yahuwah. It was the priest.
Yeah, that's what they say, right? So you see, the Bible tells us exactly what to do, how to do it. Your job is doing what the name was written. If you know you are trans, Yahweh, you got to make a fat free will offering and hit them boxes hard as you can. That's what he said. We can go and read a little bit more, but we'll leave it like that. But this is what you want to happen. Matter of fact, let's go to 19th chapter and have me a Moses Israel, have me 8 verse 12 of Hebrews waiting on me. Let's go and get a case in point in Luke 19 verse 1. Let's get a case in point in Luke 19 verse 1. We're going to get a case in point.
Luke.
Let's read a little bit to get a case in point.
The book of Luke, chapter 19, verse 1, reads, Luke chapter 19, verse 1. And Yahweh the Son answered and passed through Jericho.
Yeah.
Luke 19,
yeah. 1. Yeah, just get a hold. Give me, now, just start at 1. Go ahead and give me a little bit. So he went to Jericho, so he was around Jericho. That's good. And what happened next?
Luke chapter 19, verse 2. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the public. And he was rich. Verse 3. And he sought to see Yahweh, who he was, and could not, for the press, because he was little. Verse 4. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, but he was to pass that way. Verse 5. And when Yahweh come to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him,
Zacchaeus,
make haste and come down. Today I must abide at thy house. Verse 6. And he made haste and come down and received him darkness. Verse 7. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was going to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Verse 8. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Yahweh, behold, Yahweh, the half of my goods, I give to thee. Hold. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusing,
That's good. But what kind of man was this old man in 19 verse 2? What kind of dude he says? He says, I'm a 19 verse 2. And half of my goods I make sure is in the hands of the temple of Yahweh. What kind of man said all that in verse 2?
And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was among the public.
Verse 3, what kind of man was it?
Verse 3. And he sought to see Yahweh, who he was, and could not, for he was.
Well, wait a minute. Well, hold on, man, Mother Eve. Let's go back to 19. I don't know what kind of man this was. Let me see now, get a little book on this. In Luke 19, I don't know what kind of man this is. So I'm going to get a little book to it, and we're going to read what kind of man that gave half of what he got to the temple of Yahweh. What kind of man was this man? He was what in verse 2 again? What was he in 19 verse 2? What kind of man was this mother he in 19 verse 2?
Oh, you said what kind of man was it?
Yeah, what do it
and
say?
What
do it say in verse 2? He gonna tell us what kind of man this was in verse 2. What do we read out? What do we read in verse 2? Read verse 2. Yeah, read 2.
Luke chapter 19, verse 2. Mm-hmm. And behold, there was a man named
Zacchaeus. Okay, what was he?
Which was the chief among the publicans.
Yeah.
He was a thief.
He was rich. He was rich.
He was rich. So he was chief among the Republicans, and he was rich. He was a rich man. And he told Yahweh the son, he said, Yahweh the son, you know what I do? I give half what I got. I always give half of what I got. I'm a rich man, Yahweh the son. So there's a damn verse of man this world. But what did Yahweh say, or mother D of Israel in 8 verse 12 or Hebrews? What did he say?
Hebrews polluted for Eber. Chapter 8, verse 12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins, and their sins will I remember no more.
You see what he said? It's the bottom line. When you do what Yahweh tell you to do, and you make your presence in one of them six alone camps, got some branches on, he said, whatever you have did, as long as you're hearing it, I forgive you for it. But don't do it no more. He's saying the biggest 23, Mother D.F. Israel, what he says in the biggest 23, verse 40, down to verse 44. Leviticus 23, verse 40 to 44. What did he say? And Mother E. have me Deuteronomy 31, verse 1, 12, and 13 waiting on.
Leviticus chapter 23, verse 40. To 44.
Yes, ma'am.
Right?
Yes, right.
Leviticus 23, verse 40. And you shall take you on the first day and the dough of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and the dough of thick trees and willows of the bark, and you shall rejoice before Yahweh, your Yahweh, 7 days, 41. And you shall keep it a feast unto Yahweh 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generation. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month, 42. You shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths. 43. That your generation may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt, the land of bondage. I am Yahweh, your Yahweh. 44. And Moses declared, And Moses declared unto, excuse me, And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feast of Yahuwah.
Moses of Israel, run to Deuteronomy 16. And let's see you do what else is supposed to happen in 16, verse 11, 14, down to verse 18. And what's supposed to happen, Moses of Israel? What's supposed to be going on in Deuteronomy 16, verse 11, 14, down to verse 18? Tell us some more, Mother D.F. Israel.
Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 11, 14 through 16.
Huh? Straight on down to 18. You're straight down to 18.
Oh, straight down to 18. Okay, Deuteronomy 16, verse 11. And you shall rejoice before Yahuwah, your Yahuwah. You, your sons, and your daughters, and your manservants, and your maidservants, and the Levites that is within your gates, and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widows that are among you, in the place which Yahuwah, your Yahuwah, has chosen to place his name there. Verse 14. And you shall rejoice in your feast, you and your sons and your daughters and your manservants and your maidservants and the Levites, the strangers and the fatherless, the widows that are within your gates. 15. 7 days shall you keep a solemn feast unto Yahuwah, your Yahuwah, in the place which Yahuwah shall choose. Because Yahuwah, your Yahuwah, shall bless you in all that increase and in all your works of your hand. Therefore, you shall surely rejoice. Verse 16. 3 times in a year shall all your males appear before Yahuwah, your Yahuwah, in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, and in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacle, and you shall not appear before Yahuwah empty. 17. Every man, a woman, shall give as he is able, according to the blessings of the Yahuwah, your Yahuwah, which he has given you. Verse 18. Judges and officers shall you make you in all your gates, which Yahuwah, your Yahuwah, give you throughout your tribes, and they shall judge the people with just judgment.
There it is, Destiny, right here. All we do is point out, there it is. Mother Eve, what it says in Deuteronomy 31, verse 1, and skip down to 12 and 13. What it says, Mother Eve? Deuteronomy 31, verse 1. And get down 12 and 13. What do the books say?
Look at Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 1, verse 12, and verse 13. Verse 1. And Moses went and speaks these words unto all Israel. Verse 12. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thou stranger that is within thy gate, that they may hear, and that they may learn and fear the Yahuwah, your Yahuwah, and observe to do all the words of this Torah instruction. Verse 13, and that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Yahuwah, your Yahuwah, as long as ye live in the land where ye go over Jordan to possess it.
Verse 2 Ezra 7:21, Mother E. Verse 2 Ezra 7:21. It says, only live it. You fold the king, you got 7 days. He said, you're going to rejoice one of them and every camp is open. And we're going to read what he got to say as our mother queen of Israel in 12 verse 46 down to verse 50 in St. John. What did it say there, Mother E in 2nd Ezra 7:21?
2nd Ezra chapter 7 verse 21. For Yahweh has given straight Torah instructions to such as come what they should do to live, even as they come, and what they should observe to a law of punishment.
What that mean, Mother E? What that verse mean? That's a big verse. What that mean in that verse 7:21? Can you break that down for the national audience? What that verse mean?
Mean that Yahweh gave you straight. But Yahweh has given straight Torah instructions, commandments to such as come, what they should do to live to avoid punishment.
Ain't that something? You avoid punishment. So now you're saying, he's telling you what it takes to make it. It's up to you to continue to be in the line of punishment, but he made it plain. If you got him right, you can avoid punishment. But if you don't have it right, you're gonna come face to face with punishment. According to what Mother E just got through telling you. He'll give you straight Torah instructions. Keep them feast days, put them fringes on, get in one of them six camps, big ears, little mouth. Then you get a bold punishment. Mother D.F. Israel, what is it in 12:46 down in verse 5?
And St. John chapter 12, 46, verses 46 to 50. St. John 12, verse 46. I am come, a light unto the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. 47. And if any man or woman hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world of Israel. 48. He that reject me and receiveth not my words has one that judge him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him and her in the last day. 49. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father, which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. Verse 50. And I know that his Torah instruction is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak.
That's big talk. Mother E, in the closing thing, what it says in James 4:4 down to verse 8. That's big talk. He said, listen, I'm going to tell you something. What you're hearing that's coming from the sixth anointing, these same words is going to judge you in the end. He don't told you what to do to be the right side of the kingdom. If you don't do it, you already know you're a ticking time bomb because your time is always. Matter of fact, Mother, you read that in 7 verse 6 of St. John first. What does it say in St. John 7 verse 6? You can continue to dip your neck. Be a backbiter, murmur, complainer. Don't wear no fringes. Don't keep the Sabbath day. Don't keep no feast day. And a man shut you down. You're going to bang you in the back. I don't care how much good you done did. If you ain't got the goods of the Bible, lose. What it say in 7 verse 6 there, Mother? Mother Eve, what it says in St. John 7 6?
St. John chapter 7 verse 6. Then Yahweh said unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready.
Take that stuff. That's the good there, Mother Eve. He said, my time hasn't came. He said, well, your time already. You might walk outside any given minute, a whole tree might fall on top of your head. You don't know. You mean you're a risk not wearing no fringes? You might be going to the store, and all of a sudden a young buck come from nowhere and put a bang on you. You going to start a roll of dice? I'm just doing the man tell you. He said, your time is always. Come on, what you reading there, Mother Eve? What's you reading? And close the statement. What you reading?
James 4:8. You adulterous and adulterous, know ye not that the friendship of the world to the enemy will not what? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world, is the enemy of Yahweh. Verse 5. Do you think that the scriptures said in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us thus to envy? Verse 6. But he is more grace. Therefore, he said, Yahweh resist the proud, but give grace unto the humble. Verse 7. Submit yourself, therefore, to Yahweh. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Verse 8. Draw nigh to Yahweh, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your mind, you double-minded.
Yeah, that's big talk. Hey, Mother, that's big talk today. He said, look at here. If you worry about what the world is saying, you better worry about what I'm saying. He said, if I tell you to put on fringes and you continue to not wear no fringes, he said, okay, keep on rolling the dice. You gonna lose, Mother E, until we get back on tomorrow. Mother E, Mother Z, until we get back on tomorrow. What's your closing statement behind that? Come on.
Thank you, praise Yahweh for this class. Thank you, praise Yahweh for the seal. I'm just gonna read this one verse in John, chapter 7. It says, "Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteousness." Hallelujah.
That's Mother E. He's a judge righteous. You know what righteous means? Torah keep it. Torah keep it. Do you tell somebody to wear fringes and you don't wear no fringes? Do you tell somebody to keep the Sabbath and you ain't keeping the Sabbath day? Do you tell somebody the feast days and you ain't keeping them? If you do it, then you can, if you ain't, you're a hypocrite. It is right there. Today is a guest feed, right? Excellent. Catch you tomorrow night, Mother E, Mother Z. Mother Z of Israel, let's precept that to 2 John chapter, 1 John chapter 15, 9 to verse 17. Let's precept that. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2. Verse 15 down to verse 17. See, what he's saying, Steve, right? You have to make a choice. Either you're going to do Yahweh, or you're just going to pay the price. Let's see what he says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 down to verse 17.
1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17.
Yes,
verse
ma'am.
15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man or woman love the world, the love of the Father is not in them. 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. 17. And the world passes away and the lust thereof, but he or she that doeth the will of Yahweh abides forever.
Yes, right. So he said, you're doing the will, you abide forever if you're doing his will. Let's go to chapter 2, 12 through 14 now, Mother D up Israel. Ephesians chapter 2.
I didn't hear the book. I didn't hear the book you say.
Ephesians chapter 2, 12 through 14. So he's going to tell us something. Well, he's going to tell us something, but we're going to read what he's saying. What are we telling you, Steve, right? This is not a counsel word. I was telling you, I don't care what good deeds you have ever did. If you're not wearing no bruises, if you're not keeping that Sabbath day, you're not keeping them feast days, you're not making them offerings to the ministry, the man going to burn you in the fire. Okay, you off the job. You read it for yourself. This is number four. This is take 59, fourth day of the Feast of Tabernacle, which is Yahweh's feast. It's up to you. What you mean, Mother D up Israel? Ephesians 2, 12, 14.
Ephesians chapter 2, verses 12 to 14. Verse 12. At that time, you were without Yahweh the Son, being alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without Yahweh in the world. 13. But now in Yahweh the Son, you who sometime were far off are made near by the blood of Yahweh the Son. Verse 14. For he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of perdition between us.
So he has done his part. Now go to the fourth chapter of the same book there, Mother D.F. Israel. Let's run to the fourth chapter of the same book of Ephesians. So he's telling us something. I'll become humble. And all we do is just turn the pages. You know, if we become the enemy because we change what Yahweh is saying, we try to save your life. Because the man says, bottom line, I can't recognize you with no fringes on. Okay, how much good work you're doing? Got no fringes on? That's what he's saying. So he tells us plan what we got to do in the fifth chapter. I'll pick up at verse number 11. 11 down to verse 14. 11 down to 14. What do you say about me? Most of Israel.
You say Ephesians chapter 5?
Yeah, read verse 8 and get warmed up and skip down to 11 through 14.
Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. 11 to 14, verse 8. For you were sometime darkness, but now are you light in Yahweh the Son. Walk as children of light. Verse 12. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. 13. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doeth make manifest is light. Verse 14. Wherefore he said, awake you that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Yahweh the Son shall give you light.
So, and a closer thing in 32, 23 says what a number. So he said, listen, come out that sleep, that dead state. You can't be a backbiter and murder complainant that Yahweh don't see what you're doing in secret. He see you all the time. He said, come clean Get that puffed up spirit out you and do his will, because your time is always according to St. John 7 verse 6. What it says in 32:23 in the closing statement of our mother, D.F. Israel? What it says in number 32:23 in the closing statement? What it say?
You said number 32:23?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, number 32:23. But if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against Yahweh, and be sure your sins will find you out.
Read that again, that mother D.F.
Israel. Oh, okay, okay. Let me find it again. I count it. I close. Number 32:23. But if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against Yahweh, and be sure your sins will find you out.
Take that, sir. Most
yes,
of what's your clothes thing behind that? So if you can continue to break what you got on the table, it's going to find you out. It's going to cost you. It's going to find you out. What's your closing statement, that mother D.F. Israel? What you got to say to that?
Well, see, I heard you when you first started teaching, and I was convicted in my mind. I said, Yahweh, I repent. I know what you say. It's the truth. Okay, I don't want to be in that situation. I want to read first. Peter 4:17. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the temple of Yahweh, and if it first began at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not Torah instructions of Yahweh? And I want to be obedient to Yahweh in everything he said. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah,
Yahweh. Mother D of Israel, Mother E, Mother Z. That's all it takes. Is being obedient to Yahweh's word. All right, catch you all tomorrow night, same time. Once again, about to see you ready. Hey, the gates is open in all six locations. Eat them up, drink them up, time, and grand style is on right now. Catch you all tomorrow night. Yahweh beat y'all. Shalom.
Shalom.
All right, Mother. Mother E, Mother Z.
Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom.
Right. What time is it? Chicago.
6:15.